What does it look like in your mind? What does it look like for God to win? In your mind, Kathy. What does it look like to live the Christian life in your mind? And to be a winner as a Christian. What does it look like? What comes to mind? What's the center of Christianity? Not next week, but beginning 2 weeks from now, I'm going to begin a series about the heart of the matter in terms of Christianity. What's the heart of our faith, and what about the status of our hearts, and what does that look like? So Paul comes to the end of his letter to the churches in Galatia, and what he does often in his letters is he kind of revisits the major thing that he's wanted to talk about. And that's what he does in the end of Galatians. And that's what we've come to, the end of Galatians. And this is what he says. Look at the large size letters I'm writing to you in my own hand. Now, typically, Paul would have a secretary who was kind of writing down the things that he had told them to write down, but it's apparent in this particular situation, Paul takes the pen in hand himself, or the stylus in hand, and he writes this part himself. And he does it in large letters, people think, because Paul has bad eyes. You know, he's got some kind of eyesight problem. Some people think that's what he's talking about when he says, I've prayed 3 times that this thorn in my flesh would be taken away. We don't really know. But the point is that he's saying, this is so important to me, I'm not leaving it to someone else. I'm writing this part myself. And then he says, it's the people who want to make a fine showing in the flesh who are trying to force you into getting circumcised. So he's using flesh and circumcision kind of juxtaposed to each other. They want to solve this thing in the flesh, and they want to do it through circumcision. And they're saying, if you want to be a Christian, you have to first become a Jew, and you have to be circumcised. And Paul's argument throughout the whole letter is, no, no, no. There's no Jesus plus anything in order to become a part of the family of God. Circumcision and all that it stands for, the Torah, keeping kosher, going to keeping Sabbath and so on, all of those different things, keeping the law in any way, all of that has run its course. It had something to do at one point in time, but it no longer has anything to do because the Messiah has come and everything has changed. So then he goes on to say, for this purpose only, that they may avoid persecution for the Messiah's cross. Which I find interesting. What he's saying is, these people are afraid because they don't want to be persecuted. And the implication is, if they preach Christ and his cross in the center of Christianity, the cross of Jesus Christ, they're going to end up being persecuted. So you and I may not get that, we may not understand that, but that's what Paul is saying. But then he says, you see, even those who are circumcised don't keep the law. Rather, they want you to be circumcised. In other words, they don't live up to the standards of the law, but they want you to live up to the standards of the law. And if you get circumcised, you have to keep the whole law, and you can't keep the whole law. But they do this so that they can boast in your flesh. As for me, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, this gets to the nub of things in terms of Christianity and the center of what Christianity is all about. It's all about the cross of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus is not just about the cross, it's about the cross plus the resurrection. And all of that is to say that Jesus really is not only Messiah, but Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Torah is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh come in the flesh. So again, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Circumcision, you see, is nothing. And neither is uncircumcision. Neither one of them are anything. What matters is new creation. And what he is saying is that through the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, new creation has begun. And that's what counts. So, peace and mercy on everyone who lines up by that standard. Yes, on God's Israel. In other words, the people who are really a part of God's Israel don't have anything to do with Torah. It doesn't have anything to do with circumcision. It has to do with faith in Jesus the Messiah. It's the people of the cross. The community of the cross. That's what this is all about. For the rest, let nobody make trouble for me. You see, I carry the marks of Jesus on my body. Have you heard the word stigmata ever? What is stigmata? Do you know? What is it? Andy, you're doing this. What does that mean? The marks of Christ on your hands. So St. Francis of Assisi supposedly had blood coming out of his hands and feet, the marks. That's stigmata. That's the word that Paul uses here. He said, if you want to talk about flesh, the issue is not circumcision. It's the cross of Christ that I bear in my own body. And in other places, Paul talks about that. He talks about the fact that he's been stoned. He's been thrown out of cities. He's been thrown into prison. He's been shipwrecked. He's been denied food. I mean, there's all different kinds of things that have happened to his body. And he says all of those things are the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, be with you. And with your spirit, my dear family. So, going back again, what is the essence of Christianity? What is the center of our faith? What do we need to focus on? What Paul has been saying is, if we focus on the law, if we make the law the center, we miss the whole thing. We miss the target entirely. Everything is all about God's grace in Christ, and especially on the cross. And Paul says that those who focus on the law because of fear of human opposition and the love of human praise, they miss the point. What is that about? Fear that what others will think of them if they say that the law has run its course. You try and say to the Christian community in America today, especially the conservative Christian community, that the law has run its course, and you will receive persecution. People will call you a heretic. If you say the cross of Christ covers everything, you will be persecuted. Not by the outsiders, but by the insiders. Which is the interesting thing, because that's the people who are persecuting Paul. It's the insiders, it's not the outsiders. But they've got the message wrong. Fear of rejection and the loss of people's praise because you embrace the cross of Christ. There's a group of people in our world today, Christians, who poo-poo the cross and say, oh, that's old hat. We need to preach and keep the cross of Christ at the center of our faith. The cross puts an end to human effort and pride. The cross is the great stumbling block for people who do not have the grace to humble themselves before the one true living God. You see, if I live an upright life, if I work hard at obeying the law, you know, I can start boasting to myself, and aren't I okay? But the cross says, no, you're not. Back in the early days of my life as a Christian, there was a book that was out, and some of you may recall it. So I'm okay, you're okay. You know, I remember early on I was taught, okay, what it really ought to be, I'm not okay, you're not okay, but that's okay because Christ is okay. And that's what the cross is all about. It's making us okay. It's about redemption and reconciliation and renewal and restoration. And the resurrection is the vindication of Jesus' messiahship. Unless we embrace the cross, we cannot follow Christ on the Calvary road. And it's that road that we're to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. Die to ourselves daily and follow Him. So that's not about carrying our own burdens. It's about dying to our own agendas and saying, I'm going to pick up Christ's agenda rather than my agenda. And if I pick up Christ's agenda, that means I pick up the cross and I follow the suffering of Christ. But we don't want to do that, because if we walk the Calvary road, we find the presence of jeers and mocking. And we don't want that. We don't want people to spit on us and laugh at us. So Paul, in this little summation at the end, he gives an alternative. And he says, it's the cross, which is not a new thing. I mean, think of the things that he has said. Like in Galatians 2:20, he's already talked about this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live. He said, the NIV translated, by faith in the Son of God, a better translation, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Christianity. In Romans 6, 1 to 4, Paul says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live to a new life. If we have been united with him in death, we will certainly also be united with him in life. In 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, Paul says, we are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We worked hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. What does winning look like? It looks like the cross. It looks like bearing the sufferings of Christ. Philippians, in the third chapter, Paul says this. This is just after he's listed his pedigree, all the things that he can put to his account. He says, but whatever was profit to me, I considered loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that in some way I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. What does winning look like? What does successfully living the Christian life look like? It looks like the cross. The Christian life is a call to cruciformity. That means the shape of the cross. The call to live a cross-shaped life. The Son's act on the cross was an act of family resemblance. If you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus, and you look at Jesus most specifically on the cross. Because God is a God of self-sacrificing, self-giving love, whose power and wisdom are found in the weakness and the folly of the cross. The cross is the means of grace by which God is known. The Apostle John, when he writes his gospel, he talks repeatedly about the glory of God, the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. And you know what he says in the end? The glory of the God is seen. Guess where it's seen? On the cross. As a colony of cruciformity, the church first tells itself that story. And that's one of the reasons why we celebrate communion every Sunday morning, because we repeat that story to ourselves every day, every week. And through our worship and teaching, we tell that story to us. We learn Jesus that way, so that the cruciform life of faith, hope, love, sacrifice, and the power that is found there becomes so much a part of us that we are equipped to go then demonstrate and tell that story to the world. For Paul, the most faithful interpretation of the Messiah story is not one of his letters. It's not that. It's not an argument that he makes. He makes arguments all the time. He wrote lots of letters. As important as those are not the paramount example of the way to tell the story. No, the story unfolds step by step after the suffering of the Messiah in the lives of the people who follow Christ, and in the communities of the cross. Such a body will either literally or metaphorically or both bear the stigmata of Jesus. And we ought not be surprised when Christians are persecuted throughout the world. And we shouldn't get our panties in a bunch about that. That's what it means to follow Jesus, folks. I may not like that. You may not like that. I'm just telling you what Paul said. Paul's just telling you what Jesus said. And Jesus is telling you what the God said. I want to close by reading a passage from a book that's meant a lot to me in the last few months by a guy named Michael Gorman. He says, God is ruling over the world and setting the world to rights through the lordship of Jesus the Messiah. But Jesus rules and restores through the power of the cross. Yes, God is all powerful, but the scandal of the cross is that God's power in ruling the world is through the weakness of cruciform love. God's Spirit is always hovering over creation, seeking to indwell, order, and reign over creation. God is everywhere inserting light into darkness. Yet the shape of this invasion and ordering is always cruciform, cross-shaped. Always it is the invasion of self-sacrificing, self-giving love. What does it look like when God wins? It looks like self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Father, I ask that you take these feeble words of mine and you would bring home your message to us, your people, in a deeper way today that transforms us so that when we leave here a little bit changed, a little bit more cross-shaped. Amen.